Hello and welcome to the Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police podcast. My name is Tony Cusimano, was formerly a superintendent with York Regional Police, prior to my current role as the Director of Corporate Security, working in the private sector for the past 7 years. In 1951, the Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police was created to be the voice of Ontario's police leaders. We provide a channel for police leaders to share ideas and cooperatively create solutions to meet the challenges facing police leadership in Ontario. Our association is a non-for-profit base in Toronto, Ontario. I'd like to start with the land acknowledgement this morning. We acknowledge the land that we are meeting on in this traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabe, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. We also acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13 with the Mississaugas of the Credit. Our topic today is emergency grandparent fraud, which has been targeting our most vulnerable population across the country. Be it grandparent scam, romance scams, maintenance scams, or roofing scams, today's episode will focus on the grandparent scam. I'm excited to introduce two of our guests that have vast amount of experience with frauds, including the emergency grandparent fraud. Adrian White is the Director of Financial Crimes at the Canadian Bankers Association and is responsible for the financial crimes, cybersecurity, and emergency management portfolios at the association. He previously served with the Canadian Armed Forces and the Canadian Security Intelligence Services in a career spanning nearly three decades. The Canadian Bankers Association is the voice of more than 60 domestic and foreign banks operating in Canada and their 280,000 employees, and it continues to provide governments and others with a centralized contact to all banks on matters related to banking in Canada. The CBA advocates for people or public policies that contribute to a sound, thriving banking system to ensure Canadians can succeed in their financial goals. Our second guest today is Detective Constable John Armour. John has been a member of the Ontario Provincial Police for the past 22 years, where he worked in general investigative duties, major crime, traffic services, and as a community service and media officer. In 2015, John began working in his current position with the OPP's Anti-Brackets Ranch, investigating economic crimes and political corruption. In May of 2021, John began an 18-month secondment with the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center as a detective sergeant working as a law enforcement liaison officer both nationally and internationally. Thanks, Adrian and John, for being part of our podcast. John, perhaps you can start us off today and tell us what the current fraud landscape looks like in Canada.
Well, thanks, Tony, for inviting me on the podcast. This is a great topic to focus on. So the Canadian Fraud Center in 2022 received a staggering $530 million in reported victim losses. This is just a massive increase from the year before, which is $380 million reported losses. A devastating portion of that, $138 million, or 26% of those losses, were attributed to senior victims. So according to the Anti-Fraud Center again, seniors lose on average 33% more than any other demographics. So this is a very timely and important topic to be focused on. Part of that has to do with the emergency grandparent scam, and that represented 7.1 million reported losses by seniors in 2022. The overall losses were 9 million. And in Ontario victims represented losing $4.3 million, which really interesting about these stats is that only an estimated 5 to 10% of victims actually report their scams to Canadian frauds or law enforcement.
Thanks, John. And that really segues into our topic about the emergency grandparent scam. So Adrian, how does this fraud work? How do you see it from a CBA perspective?
Thanks, Tony, and hello again, John. From the CBA perspective, we see the scam is evolving. But often the senior will receive a phone call to their landline from someone who starts the conversation with, "Grandma, do you know who this is?" Thinking it's their grandchild, victims will respond saying, "Yes, I know it's you," and name the grandchild. The caller will then ask for money, pretending they were in some kind of emergency, like a car accident or they've been arrested and are in jail in another city or even another country. Sometimes they'll put another person on the phone to act like a police officer, a bail's bondsman, or a lawyer. The victim is then instructed to withdraw funds from their bank account and to e-transfer, wire the money, take cash and deliver it to someone, or even use cryptocurrency to help the grandchild. That's where it started, and again, it's constantly evolving.
It's unfortunate how these unsuspecting people become scammed and victimized. And so, John, what are you seeing then from a law enforcement perspective?
Yeah, right across Ontario and across Canada, we've seen the last 2 years a massive increase in these emergency grandparent scams. And when we say emergency, it's playing on people's sense of acting immediately and a sense of chaos they have to respond to. So the grandparent scam is a variation of the emergency scam, which is classified in the Anti-Fraud Center. So this uses urgency and manipulating emotions from the senior to extort money from their victims. In these scams, the fraudsters will cold call, as you mentioned, Tony, the landline is a use of all this. So they claim to be a grandparent, a grandchild, or a family member, or a law enforcement officer, or an attorney that's calling on behalf of a loved one. So just like was mentioned earlier, they'll say that they're the person's loved one. They're involved in some emergency, such as a collision. They've been arrested for drug possession. Perhaps the person involved in the collision was injured, maybe a pregnant woman. So there's always a sense of legal peril that is a sense of urgency. There could also be sickness or injury, and we're seeing COVID be used as an excuse for that as well, for the reason why the grandchild's voice may sound muffled. So what they do is they put pressure on the senior to provide payment immediately, and this is normally for supposed bail, legal fees, or fines that are owed to stop that family member from going to jail or get released from custody. So what the fraudsters do is they'll isolate the victims and they'll tell them there's a gag order and they're not to discuss this matter with anyone. So it makes it very challenging for law enforcement or financial institutions to try and disrupt these patterns. So then the victim is directed to attend some financial institution in their community and withdraw cash. Sometimes they're getting cash from an ATM and then they're going into the branches and getting cash. And then they'll head home and package it. So the fraudsters are told that someone's going to pick up the cash from the home. Perhaps they're a courier or they're acting on behalf of the courts and send money through a courier service sometimes to other destinations in Canada. So we've all seen reports of victims paying cryptocurrency, and that tends to be in Western Canada. Of course, at this time, the victims have been pressured and rushed and worried about their loved ones. So just to sort out and have the money sent without being allowed time to notice the red flags. We're also seeing a twist in this fraud. It's where the fraudsters are sending a random text message to individuals saying that their child or the grandchild and their phone has been damaged and dropped in the toilet and that they're using someone else's phone and that they need money to fix their phone. So as I said, these scams will start with a text message that appears to be from somebody. And it typically reads something like, "Mom, I've dropped my phone in the toilet. I've got a new number, or I'm using a friend's phone." And then that number that they're receiving to call back on will be an unknown number. So it focuses on a sense of urgency. We'll also see that the victims will be encouraged to move from text messaging to end-to-end encryption like apps like WhatsApp. Or Signal, what have you.
Interesting. It's amazing the different scams that come up. And you know, we through the Canadian Bankers Association, they're working hard with the banks to try and prevent millions and billions of dollars of crime each year, right? And the banks are working closely with law enforcement and authorities across the country to continuously enhance best practices and avoid assisting people being victimized. But John, from what fraud prevention measures have the OBP or law enforcement in general, what have they launched in response to these types of scams?
So the OPP has been working in concert with Canadian Anti-Fraud Center and the RCMP to try and tackle this fraud and many other frauds through fraud prevention, media releases, bulletins. So in February of 2023, we partnered up with the Anti-Fraud Center and the RCMP, and we developed a one-week grandparent scam awareness campaign. This campaign worked with our law enforcement partners across Canada, because we were seeing that massive increase in these grandparent extortion scams. So we wanted to raise awareness to elderly public that may not be on social media. They may not be following news as much as other people may. And so we needed to find a method in order to reach out to our senior group that may have, you know, cognitive issues. So we issued a media release. We cooperated in a lot of media requests. There was a lot of media interest nationally, provincially, municipally, and we issued a lot of social media. But one of the things we did is we reached out to the Royal Canadian Legion, who was able to amplify our messaging. We reached out to Ministry of Long-Term Care, Ministry of Health, to share this messaging with seniors that may come into, you know, Ontario government facilities, what have you. So our methodology is, can we train a grandchild or their family members to let the elderly persons know that this is the type of scam, that if they see it, hear it, just hang up. So we also work with our OPP employees and other police service employees to provide frontline members with resources on how to investigate these frauds. In addition to Canadian Fraud Center, they have something called partners@anyfraudcenter.ca. So I encourage anyone to get on the distribution list. And this is where you can receive information on their bulletins. We encourage people to go to the Canadian Fraud Center website, and they have a lot of information on various different scams that may be targeted seniors. The other thing we did is we partnered with our great friends at the Canadian Bank Association, and we were able to work together with the initiative so that they can provide information to their internal members as well.
That's great. Thank you, Justin. Some really great, proactive and preventative initiatives. Thanks again, John. Adrian, what tips do you have for banking clients to protect themselves?
Oh, well, thank you, Tony, and thank you, John. Indeed, we are focusing on red flags. So if you're a bank customer, you know, look for those red flags. As John mentioned, if it's something that's pressuring you to do something like take a large amount of money and send it somewhere on behalf of your grandchild or family member, question that. You don't know who's on the other end of the line asking you to do this. And check with someone you know that you can reach yourself to confirm if these are true or not. And if you're suspicious, hang up. There's really no circumstance that I can see where you would be expected or need to provide a large amount of money in cash for some emergency. Beyond that, be truthful. We are working with our bank employees to help detect when someone might be in the process of being victimized. So if someone tells you not to tell the bank while you're withdrawing a large sum of money, which is unusual, again, that's a big red flag. Talk to the bank teller if you're at the bank branch and suddenly withdrawing a large sum of money for something that seems really urgent. And we are working with the OPP and the OACP to get more of these materials out at the bank branch level. So that people can be informed and make wise decisions and detect these scams. And we want to reach our senior customers, and the best way to do that sometimes is to ask the children to talk to their parents about things like the grandparent scam and the emergency scam. And warn them, the world is changing, and a lot of fraud is taking place, and they should think twice about any urgent situation that they're confronted with and reach out to their children, and even their grandchildren, before they take any steps. So we also have a lot of material on the Canadian Bankers Association website. In fact, we've updated our fraud prevention toolkit for older adults, and if you can help your parents or if you're on the Internet, I encourage you to go to cba.ca and look at the fraud prevention toolkit. Chapter 2 describes the grandparent scam actually in particular, but there are a whole range of other frauds that are occurring, and with the OPP and the Ontario Associate of Chiefs of Police, we want to continue to reach out to people, not only through the fraud campaigns in the spring and the fall, but all year round.
Thanks, Adrian. Great advice and some great initiatives there by the Canadian Bankers Association. So, John, what do you tell people that have been victimized?
Since we've been conducting investigations into these types of scams, I've had the opportunity to talk to various victims, and it's devastating to hear that these people, you know, they may have cognitive decline, they may have family members or their spouses that are ill, they may be ill themselves, so it's just devastating to hear these victims being caught up in these scams. One of the things I want to illustrate is that our court system will not facilitate couriers attending your house to pick up cash. So that's what I'll tell victims right off the start. You did nothing wrong. There's this perception of how the justice system works based on Hollywood or TV, and then the reality of what actually happens. So the courts will never send anyone to your house, neither the police, to pick up cash. If it's to pay bail, then it's simply money in trust that you work with the Crown Attorney to get people to. So at the Canadian Fraud Center, whether it be this fraud or other frauds, we have a really simple 6 steps on how to try and tackle this fraud that just occurred to you. So the first step we always say is gather all the information related to your fraud. Is there a phone number that was used? Was there email that was sent? What's that email address? Was it a website? What is the website address? So we encourage people to collate all the documents, receipts, copies of emails or text messages, maybe the wire transfer you sent through the bank, maybe the crypto transaction hash that you used. So the first step is gathering your information. The second step is we always suggest when people report to their local law enforcement or police of jurisdiction. And this enables the police of jurisdiction to be aware of what scams are being targeted in their area, whether it be to residents or businesses. Keep a log of all the calls, then document your occurrence that you make to the police of jurisdiction. Often people are so overwhelmed with what's happening, that they forget to take down the incident number, maybe the officer's number. The OPP just launched a new initiative where if you report your incident to the OPP, you receive a text message back with the incident number and contact information. So that's, that can help people out. The third step is we recommend people call the Canadian Fraud Center at 1-888-495-8501, or go to the fraud reporting system, which is found on the Canadian Fraud Center website. The Canadian Fraud Center has been overwhelmed with the amount of fraud that's been reported. So if you can't get through on the phone line, we recommend reporting online. And it's a very easy, seamless process to do that. And most people have no idea what the Anti-Fraud Center does. They don't actually investigate, but they support law enforcement and our banking partners, and they share information. So it's really important to report. The fourth step is report the incident to your financial institution or money business service that you used, whether it be, you know, Western Union, MoneyGram, a credit union, maybe there was a credit company, or maybe it was an internet service provider. So when you go on there, report it and flag it. A lot of times they can actually restrain the money and freeze it and look at the bad bank account. And then they can work with FinTrack, which tracks these suspicious transactions. So it's really important to share with your financial institution. The fifth step is if you have provided any form of identification, you must contact two of Canada's credit bureaus. That's Equifax and TransUnion. It's a great tool to identify whether someone has tried to open credit in your account in your name. And often you can pay to get flags on your accounts, and they'll notify you if your information has been utilized. And the sixth step I always say is talk to your friends, talk to your family, let them know that you've been victimized, and also share what kind of fraud it was. So internally with your group of friends, you can share what fraud it was and maybe red flags that they should be worried about as well.
Well, some great steps and great advice and a lot of good takeaways for people and, like you say, family members and loved ones to share with senior members and their families. So a lot of good advice, and you know, it's important that we start these conversations with our elderly loved ones about these various scams and the elder abuse that's going on, and it's never too late to start the conversation over people's conversations so that people have those takeaways, right? So, you know, in closing, I think thank you both, John and Adrian, for providing some proactive and preventative measures. You know, some good takeaways, right? It's about being suspicious of telephone calls that require you to take immediate action, such as, you know, requesting bail money for family members. Be careful with caller ID numbers that look familiar. Be suspicious. Call another family member. And if you receive an email or a text message, right, claiming to be from a friend or a loved one, make that outgoing call to that legitimate phone number for the contact that you have for that loved one. And again, anyone, as John and Adrian have cited, and John just covered in his six-step process, right, anyone who suspects they've been victimized of a cybercrime or fraud, right, report it to their local police and to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Center, either by phone or online reporting. So, again, thank you both for your time and your expertise, and thank you to your respective organizations and working collectively with law enforcement, not only through the province but across Canada to tackle this ongoing issue. So thank you both, and appreciate your time and dedication into this very important topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony.